And today we will do a Bible study on visions and the purpose of visions, and maybe to ask, when you say a vision, what does that mean to you? Or what do you think when you think of someone mentioning a vision? Maybe let me open it up first and then we can have an understanding. What do you think is a vision to you, or how will you define a vision? Yes,
a vision is an imaginary projection of thought.
Okay.
Yes, an imaginary projection of thought, mm-hmm, that one would intend to achieve or fulfill within a given period of time.
Okay, good. So an imaginary projection of thought that one would wish to achieve within a given time. Okay, that's one good aspect. Someone else can define vision.
I think for me, a vision is where or the place I see myself.
Okay.
So where I want to be or where I see myself based on the word of God.
Okay.
And so I write it down. And when I'm saying that, Habakkuk 3:2 comes to mind, or is it 2:3, whichever, where it says, write the vision down, for it waits an appointed time. So it's where I'm hoping to or envisioning to be. And so I write it down now, but then I'm praying because it awaits an appointed time.
Okay. Amen. Amen. So from what I get from you, there is what is, when we speak of visions, we usually have two aspects of it. One is that which you project, and which is ideally, whenever you speak of visions, that's what we often think of. I mean, now when you think of an organization, you will say, I mean, what is our mission, what is our vision statement? And ideally, it's a, as rightly put, it's a mental image of where you want to be. But today I want us to focus on the other aspect of visions, which are actually more of the images or the subconscious mental audio visual images that God gives and that God shares to believers, or that come to humans that are not from us per se, but actually are supernatural. So our focus will not be on the natural visions, and I think that one is usually where, I mean, you can do a lot of, what is it called, self-help books, and I mean, there are many authors of motivation who can guide on that, but I wanted to focus more on how do we interpret or how do we respond to God-given images, God-given visions, and by that we usually tend to, maybe we can look at it in terms of, and maybe let me just define this while we start. I would say that for the purposes of this discussion, we look at visions as God's means of communicating supernatural realities to the subconscious or conscious mind through showing images or symbols, and these images or symbols will often have hidden meanings that need deciphering. And one of the things that we realize about visions is that they can happen when one is asleep, and this is what we usually call a dream or a night vision. They can also happen when one is awake, and this is an open vision where your surroundings change and you find yourself in a place where you can see, where God starts to reveal things. And they can also happen in a subconscious state where you are awake, but then you are thrown into a slight half place where between you're in between sleeping and in between awake. And that's what we call a subconscious state. So ideally, you'd have either a dream or a night vision. You might have an open vision, which is where God opens your eyes, your spiritual eyes, and you can see images that you know are not there in the natural, but they are there in the supernatural. And also, God can also take you into a trance. Now, if you look at what Job 33, verse 14 to 18 says, for God may speak in one way. I like how NIV puts it, for God does speak now in one way and now in another, yet a man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So one of the things that we can see and we can tell from this scripture is that God always desires to speak. And one of the means that God uses to speak to people is through visions, and this can cut across dreams, it can cut across open visions, it can cut across trances, and where God seals his instruction. He opens the ears of men. That means in the dream he is able to show a vision, a picture, where he opens your ears and he's able to seal instruction. And the purpose of this instruction is either to keep you from pride and also to preserve you. And this is very important when we're going to see what are some of the purposes of dreams. Now, or dreams, visions, and all this. And maybe I will ask a question even while we were there. What do you think are the possible sources of, maybe I can use dreams or possible sources of visions, if you are to examine in terms of when we try to ask ourselves, maybe you had a dream last night and it's a bit, it either scared you or it got you thinking, and what are the possible sources of dreams or visions? Maybe I'll ask that question. Ralph, I saw you had joined in. Maybe I throw that to you.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Soma. Good evening, everyone. Apologies for joining late. Possible sources of visions, it can be sometimes like what is defined the subconscious. So it can be sometimes your fears can also show up as visions, mm-hmm. like in terms of the things that are preoccupying your mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can, you know, translate into visions, because the things that are very much active, the things that you're always engaged in, they can also be a source of visions, mm-hmm. you know, for you. Then at the same time, they can also be like, it can be an inspiration. Okay. You know, like sometimes you're not even thinking about it, but there is a force that can give you an inspiration, and all of a sudden from nowhere, boom, something that just comes, and, you know, it's a vision, and that can be from God. Then at the same time also, we can be influenced also by, you know, like sometimes I wouldn't call that vision, but yeah, fear can also become, you know, can also manifest itself, you know, as a vision. Mm. Because I remember, I want to use this example, when I was still a child and we were walking in the forest and I was afraid. Mm. And because I was afraid, you know, the trees would transform into monsters. Because I was afraid, you know, I will start to see things that are very scary. So I would say maybe those are the three sources of maybe a vision, according to maybe my understanding.
No, that's good. That's a good breakdown. And thank you for that. And maybe let's, I think I agree with you in that let's consider the first source of dreams or visions is actually God. And I will say God and his angels. Now, why do I put it this way? If you think of Numbers, Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of God. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now, I think most of us are familiar with this encounter where Miriam and Aaron, the elder brother and sister of Moses, were complaining against Moses, and they were wondering why they were accusing him. Why did he marry a Cushite woman? And they were saying, do you think that it's only God that speaks to you? And God now came and judged them, and God asked them, Don't you know when there's a prophet among you, I speak to him, I reveal myself to him in a vision or in a dream, but not with my servant Moses. So with Moses, God will speak to him face to face, and he will see the face of God or the form of God. But visions and dreams are actually form of dark sayings or dark speeches that God uses to communicate to his servants. Now, think of how when God called Jeremiah and he gave him the promise, before I formed you, I knew you in your mother's womb, and I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. And then the next thing that you see in Jeremiah 1:11 verse 13 is God asking, what do you see? Now it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And then the word of the Lord came to me the second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, it's facing away from the north, and that signified disaster that was coming. So we can see that God actually communicates directly to believers or to men through dreams or through visions. And apart from God himself, he is also able to communicate through his angels. You can think of how Zechariah, he was burning incense, you know, in the inner chamber. And when he went in the Holy of Holies, and the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 11, that the angel appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now, for Zechariah, it was not like a dream or a trance. He was not subconscious, but this was an open vision. That means he, through his own physical eyes, he was able to see this angel that appeared to him. And the angel told him, do not be afraid. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, in the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So Daniel experienced dreams. There are points where angels came and gave him dreams and gave him understanding of the visions that he had. And we can see the prophetic nature of Daniel. He was constantly having dreams and visions. The second source, as you rightly put, Ralph, about where we get dreams is actually man. And there are two components of man. One is the multitude of businesses or the multitude of activities. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3 says, for a dream comes through much activity. King James puts it, through much businesses, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. That means that your dreams are never really far from what you are doing during the day. If you are eating, if you're talking about food during the day, you will most likely dream about chapati. And or if you're busy stressing over a relationship, most likely that is what will come in your dream. So in the multitude of activities, then the dream is able to come forth. But there's also the other dream that comes from flesh, or actually basically from pride, when someone is proud. And this is the dream, or the dream that comes, that, or the visions where you find people who love to boast or who like to go into details that they are seeing visions. And these are people who want to, you know, they want to appear that they are, you know, they're highly spiritual. Like, and Colossians 2:18 tells us, do not let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. And Deuteronomy 18 verse 22 says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. When you think of that word presumptuously, it is that the prophet has spoken proudly. Now, one of the things that was corroding the Colossian church is they used to have all these prophets and all these false teachers who will come from time to time and telling them, oh, I met this kind of angel. He was tall, he was short, and he was doing this, and he was powerful. And many times some of those people are just liars, and all is their mind, their pride, their flesh is what is building up, and they use that to, you know, to make people feel down. So one of the things that you will have to be very careful about, I know there are men of God that, I mean, God reveals to them enough through visions and dreams, but it is one thing that if everything that you speak about is always a unique revelation to you, then that is something that you have to be very careful about, because God has not primarily called us to be led by dreams and visions, but by the word of God. So this is very important that you need to note when the dream or the vision comes from man. Then there's also the third source where the dreams might come, or visions might come, or projected from the devil and evil spirits. Now, a first example that we can see is Samuel in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28, verse 3 to 15. And here we see the story of where Saul, when he realized that God was not speaking to him, the Bible says, verse 5, when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men were with him, and they came at the night to the woman by night and said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for the one to whom I shall name. Now, I mean, I know some people will argue, oh, but it was the spirit of Samuel, it was this. But one of the things that if you do an in-depth study of that, you will see that the woman say that she saw a spirit coming from down or coming from the earth. And that is to tell you that that was not actually the spirit of Samuel, but it was an evil spirit that was coming up in the name of Samuel. So it's one of the things that you'll have to understand, that the devil and his agents, some of his agents are mediums, and mediums are people who are communicating points between evil spirits and between the dead and the living, and they can easily generate spirits and visions in which they can communicate that. So Saul did that. Another example of someone who also will give dreams or future fortune telling was a slave girl in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. There was a certain slave girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination, who met us and who used to bring her masters much profit by fortune telling. So this spirit or that was in this girl, the girl will go around, keep saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who are showing us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul one day was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And you see, when the masters saw that their profit was, hope for profit was gone, they arrested Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace authority. So there is a spirit of divination. So the spirit of divination is where they try to see into the future and they try to give you some form of wisdom. And that is called fortune telling. Now, remember also the devil himself also masquerades as an angel of light. Now you can think of that. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 says that, and no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Now if you go through history, you'll find religions which claim that, oh, and a white angel appeared to them, an angel full of light, and gave them certain books. But when you follow through their stories, you'll find that they're actually cults. And when you follow through, you'll realize that it was actually Satan himself that came to them as an angel of light. Now, the devil actually showed a vision to Jesus. If you can think of Matthew chapter 4 verse 8 to 10, the Bible says the devil took him on a high, exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. You can imagine, in a moment of time, the devil was able to show Jesus. It's not like they were moving, but in a vision, he portrayed a vision to Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms and told him that, I will give you this to you if you fall down and worship him. But then Jesus was very clear, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him always. And another aspect of the devil and evil spirits and his people, of course, we have wizards, we have familiar spirits, we have necromancers. And Isaiah 8:19 tells us that when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards that peep. Peeping is where they can try to see into the future. And those that matter, where they make incantations and all that. The question is, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? That means that we should not be seeking about the living from the dead. And this is the question that God was asking. Why are people consulting wizards? Why are people consulting those with familiar spirits? Why are people consulting, you know, necromancers, those that consult the dead for the sake of the living? And even Exodus 22:18 was very clear. God warned the people, you should not allow a witch to live. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So one of the core challenges or core concerns whenever we encounter dreams, visions, trances, or, you know, all these supernatural realities is we must always ask ourselves, what is the source of these visions? And it is this source that will determine how we respond to what images that come. But one of the things that you must know is that the original plan of God, whatever God created is always good, but the enemy has always created a counterfeit. So anything that you see the enemy doing is trying to corrupt what was originally the plan of God. Now, there's this statement that I think maybe you've heard, that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So someone asked this question, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, what is the value of a video? Maybe I should drop this question while we are going to the next slide. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, then what is the value of a video? Who wants to give it a try? Yes, Tabo.
Okay, come again.
I asked the question, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, what is the value of a video? Yes, Tabo, go ahead.
Go ahead.
We can hear you.
It's the state and the nature of both things.
Mm.
Because a picture requires interpretation.
Okay.
And that is why they say it's worth 1,000 words, because the interpretation can be unimaginable. I mean, it could be something that you could say in whatever words you want to say.
Yeah.
But the video already demonstrates what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to interpret because you already see.
Okay.
So I don't know whether...
Sure, you know, it's
there
good.
Is an alternative of that. I don't know if I'm articulating it well, but...
No,
I think the two...
So if you were to ask...
The two may not require...
If you were to ask God to show you your future, what would you prefer, a video or... Or a picture?
A video, I think, because that is clear to understand.
No, I like that. Ideally, actually, yes, Ralph, I see you've unmuted. Go ahead, let me hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I would say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but a vision is worth, you know, 1,000,000 words. Why? Because I'm looking at the content and the clarity of the vision. Where in a picture, the interpretation is so huge.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to vision, there is more clarity, like Tabu is saying.
Yeah.
So that's why I'll give it to say, you know, 1,000,000. Because I'm putting the value there.
Yeah.
Because to say more valuable, it's more clear. And it's something that it's better to understand.
Yeah, true. True. No, actually, I felt that was a good interlude that will take us to ask the question, what is the purpose of visions that God gives us? I found this on the internet. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, then a video is generally considered to be worth at least 1,000,000 words. Huh? So, Ralph, you're very right. Or potentially even more due to its ability to convey information and emotions through moving images, sound, and storytelling. Now, when you think about that, ideally, when we speak of visions, we are saying that God is communicating to you something about either a present thing or a future thing that is about to happen in a way that you can see it, and it is in moving form, and it is for a responsibility. Now, this is why it's very important that you have to understand that there is a reason why God is communicating the vision, and that is why we need to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of vision? And as I said, as believers, remember what the prophecy of Acts of Joel. Joel said, "And afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions." That means that God has promised already that visions are going to be part of our lives. And if we look at the early church, if we look at the apostles, if you look at the believers, they were constantly encountering visions. God was revealing things. And if you are growing in your spiritual life, you will realize that at one point or another, you're going to encounter either a dream, which is a message from God, a vision from God, and it is important that you know how to interact with it based on the word of God. And this is really ideally the purpose of the teaching. Number one, you will say that visions point to the future. Now, Habakkuk, Caroline had earlier stated, is chapter 2, the Bible says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Now, think of the life of Joseph. Joseph, as a child or as a teenager, God gives him a dream where he sees himself, where he is in a field, and he sees that the sheaves, the wheat of his brother's sheaves bent before his sheaf. Now, that communicated something to his brothers by that image that they are going to bow before him. He's going to be their leader. And they asked him, "So you're going to be our leader?" So the picture pointed to the future. Now, one of the things that I think is that it is that image that kept Joseph alive throughout the struggle. Throughout the pit, throughout Potiphar's, he knew that there is something that God had shown him. And I know each and every one of us, there is a vision, there is a future that God has revealed or is in the process of revealing, that if you constantly remind yourself, like, you know, Timothy was told, always wage war with the prophecies concerning you that were given to you when the elders laid their hands on you. That means that there are things that God has given to us to point to the future. Now think of Agabus, the prophet. The Bible tells us, Acts 11, verse 28, "Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which happened in the days of Claudius Caesar." And what did the people do? They contributed and sent their resources to go and support. I always wonder, how did he show by the Spirit? You know, did he demonstrate a famine is coming? But basically, the scriptures is telling us that he showed by the Spirit that a famine is coming. So one of the things about visions is that they point to the future. So God may give you a picture, an image, and one of the things as you walk with God, especially as you start to lead people, as you start to lead your family, as you start to be in organization, as you start to think ahead for your children, there are things that God can point you into. Why? Because he does not want you to miss your direction. And that takes us to the second point. Visions give direction to the believer. Now, Paul was in a place where they were trying to know where they're supposed to go for their next mission. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, the Bible says that when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. The Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, Paul was in a place where he was trying to go. I mean, his heart is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you see, there is a place that is ready. There are people that are ready. And what did God do? God gave Paul a dream that in the middle of the night, he saw the vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And this is really a principle that it is important to be guided by God, and God can speak through the word, God can speak through people, or God can also give you a vision or a dream in the night. And remember, what is the source? The source is God. Especially when the source is God, then you can be clear that this is the direction that God is going. Number three is that visions also come to give warnings and the need for restraint. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law is happy. Now, we had earlier read Job 33, where God comes to give someone a dream in the night to seal their instruction and to also keep that person's soul from the pit, from destruction, and from his life from perishing by the sword. Now, if I remember this story of where this man, he had a dream, and in the dream he saw that they were on a road, and when they were driving through that road, that they got to a certain point where they were shot, and there was an ambush, and this was in Nigeria, and they were killed. Now, he told his wife that same message, and then the wife were like, no, you should not travel, let's pray over it, you should not travel. But then eventually what happens, the guy was a government official. A governor calls him and tells him, you come and meet me here. And he has to go through that road. And he insists he has to go. And the wife tells him, no, we've already said that. You've already seen in the dream that you should not go there. He insisted and he went. Now when the lady is calling the man of God is like, whatever it is, why don't you fly? Why don't you do this? Said the man has already gone. And truth be told, they got to that junction and the man was shot and the man died. Now, God had given the dream as a warning, as a restraint, but the man did not heed to the instruction. Now, when that happens, would you blame God or would you not blame that you did not take the necessary action to pray against and also to know that there is a leading and there is a warning? I mean, if there was another way, it would have been better to use a different direction. Now, God uses dreams to warn us. There are times where we are not hearing and he has to shout in our ears. Now, another thing about visions is that God also uses them to come to comfort us and assure us that God is in charge of the future. I don't know how you will feel when actually God had already shown you something. Like, you can think of Paul. They were already they were going through the boat and they were in the storm, and he tells the men, look here, an angel of the Lord of God to whom I belong and serve stood beside me and told me, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. That is to tell you that God brings visions for us to comfort us that even though you're going through pain now, I already know the future that I've prepared for you. I am in the future. Why? Because he is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows the end. Nothing happens to us without God actually knowing it and without it coming to the heart of God. So it is something very important that we must constantly keep reminding ourselves that God is in charge of the future and that God knows the future. Number five is that Visions also reveal the mind of God. You know, there are things that God has established as matters that are firmly established. And you can think of the dreams that came to Joseph. Joseph was just told, Pharaoh had two dreams. 7 years of good cows. And then there were seven lean cows. The seven lean cows came and ate the seven, you know, good cows. And then he saw, you know, the crop that was 7 years that were good, and then they were destroyed by this other. And then the dream is interpreted to him that the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because this thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So one of the things that we must know about visions, about dreams, is that especially when they are repeated, they are matters that are firmly established by God, and they come to reveal to us the mind of God. Why is it necessary for the mind of God to be revealed? God has promised in his word that surely he does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. That means that God always desires to tell his children the future. He always desires that you don't walk in darkness. Remember, we are not called to walk in ignorance, in darkness. The Bible tells us, in your light we find light, or we see light. That means God reveals light for us, that we don't walk in ignorance and we don't walk in darkness. Number six, also, one of the things about visions is that when they come, they're actually symbolic. And when they're symbolic, that means that they are cryptic and they need discernment or wisdom to decipher. Think of the dream of Pharaoh. He could not understand it. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. He has a dream and he tells you have to tell me the dream and also to interpret it. Why? Because it was cryptic. It comes with a hidden message. And you can even think of even just the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:1 tells us the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. That means that the book of Revelation was given through signs. It was through signs and symbols. That's why you find a lot of imagery in the book of Revelation. It was given to John by signs. Now, think of Daniel. The Bible says, Daniel 2 verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies from God, God of heaven, concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I assure you, when you ask God, when a vision has come, when you take time to meditate, think of Peter, when he had the dream and where the animals were being brought, all these unclean animals. And the Bible says, while he contemplated, while he thought through, while he meditated on the meaning of the vision, then the Holy Spirit told him, some men are waiting for you. Do not hesitate to go down with them. Now, that tells us there is a place where you need to meditate. You need to ask yourself. And one of the easiest ways to actually decipher the meaning of a dream, if you have a dream and you're not clear what it means, actually take some time to pray in tongues in the morning, pray in tongues over it. And as you reflect on it, then the Lord is able to make it clear to you. Now, I've already highlighted what Peter went through. God can use visions to communicate to us changes in times and seasons. There are moments where God wants to change certain times and seasons. And one of the ways that God does it is he actually brings us into a place of a vision. And for Peter, it was necessary for God to get his attention and to bring him a vision for him to know that, you see, you have been focusing on the Jews, it is time for you to go out to the Gentiles. Another thing that we see about visions is that they also make the supernatural world visible. Think of Ezekiel. And actually, if you wanted to see, there are few parts in scripture that actually give us vivid descriptions of God, vivid descriptions of heaven. One is the book of Revelation. The other is Ezekiel chapter 1. And the Bible says that Ezekiel 1:1, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. And he goes on into great detail describing the living creatures, describing their eyes, you know, wheels that have eyes all over and how they move from one direction to another. And if you go into that, he even describes the vision of God. And if you look at the vision that Ezekiel sees of God, is similar to the vision that John the Revelator sees in the book of Revelation. So when God brings us into visions, in that he makes the supernatural world to be visible to the natural world. And there is a purpose in it. Why? Because at times there is deliverance that is needed, and especially those that walk in deliverance will actually, at times, God will actually reveal demons that are on people. Like, I mean, you can think of Kenneth Hagin will say someone came and he could see there was a monkey that was jumping on the person's head. And he tells him, I need to pray for you. And the man refused, but he can see. But you see, they make the supernatural world visible to the natural eye. Now, number nine also, as I earlier said, God uses visions to communicate to prophets. And this is earlier we had seen that God says that if I have a prophet among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. Now, remember, in the New Testament, each of us is given the gift of prophecy. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That means that God will use any means to give us messages, to communicate to us, but it does not necessarily give us the office of a prophet, but he actually expects us to be able to receive messages from him and to be able to communicate and to prophesy his message. So one of the things that's about the purpose of visions is actually God's means of communication. I'm just trying to tell you that so that you can also be in the place where you expect God to communicate to you. And actually, God could actually be communicating to you, but the question is, have you been paying attention? And I think that my final point is that God uses visions to catch our attention. You can think, if Paul, or rather Saul, he was called Saul then, if God did not arrest him on the road to Damascus through that bright light, and for him to be able to see the Lord and ask, who are you, Lord? And he was told, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Unless Jesus had to miraculously come and catch the attention of Saul, he will never have been able to convert him into being his apostle. So there are times that God uses visions to catch our attention. Think of Moses. When Moses saw the burning bush, the Bible says that when God turned to see, that Moses had turned to see, turned to look, then he told him, remove your shoes. That means that God, there are things that God does. He will just flash something. But the moment that you take a moment to actually pray and ask yourself, what is that I saw just in the morning when I woke up, or just after I had finished prayer? What is that? What is it that God you're trying to say? When you turn to see, God has caught your attention, then he's able to take you into that deeper place of understanding. I'm going to give us some few applications and pointers that we think of, and then we'll take our what are our thoughts. Number one, I will say, is expect visions and dreams as one of the means by which God will guide believers. God has not called us to walk in darkness. I can give a testimony. Just before I went for my R&R, it was just in the morning. I'd finished praying, and I think I just dozed off a bit. And then I had a dream, and I was actually like trying to enter into Kenya, because I passed Kenya Airways, and I was trying to cross through. And there was someone in a window, and they tried to stop me, and they tried to put a chain on me, on my leg, and I refused, and I told them, do you know who I am? And immediately I woke up, I got into prayer, I was very angry, and I was like, why did you do this? What? Now, what happened is actually when I was now traveling, I was going, then I reached, and then there was that place where they were checking bags. And then I had one bag that was packed full of clothes that I'd bought for people. And I don't know what told me to just pack them, divide them nicely. And I had another bag that was just had normal things. And then we went through that check, and then the person pulled me aside. And then they're like, we need to check your bag. Now, I knew the bag that was had many issues. and the other bag was fine. But then the person was told to send me to the check place, picked the bag that was okay, and went to the table and said, this is the bag. I gave them the bag. They checked. I gave them my UNLP. I was like, this is what. And then he told me, go. He did not check the bag that had issues. Then when I got out, I realized this was actually what God was trying to warn me about. And if I had not taken heed to pray over it, I may have had a challenge. Now, the other bag that was had might have had issues. They did not even look at it, but it was there. But you see, God, by his grace, he enabled the vision to be seen, and by it being seen, enabled you to pray over it so that you don't walk into darkness and you don't land into trouble. Number two is meditate and contemplate on visions. Write them down. Make them plain. I'm sure there are things that God has shown you. I remember at the beginning of the year, God, I saw a vision of the church, and it was a red hall, you know, and now when we are in the hall, and I see that, and I'm like, glory to God, this is really the place that God had shown, you see. So there are things, there was even something I'd seen about children, and there were different children of different, you know, races. And later on, when we start the children's ministry, then you realize that actually there are things that God shows us. So you write them down. Why? Because when you write them down, you can go back to them. I'm telling you, if you desire to be led by God, God will start to reveal things. And one of the things you can, even when you pray, if you're struggling over an issue, you can even pray before you sleep and tell God, God, I want to know this. And if you feel that you would want to show me in a vision or in a dream, feel free to do so. And one of the things you'll realize is that God will actually show you. Very important, as we've learned also, is take necessary action to whatever is revealed. If it is prayer, pray. If it is travel, take warnings and take heed. If God reveals to you something, take heed and pray against it until you get the liberty over it. Especially these are difficult times, it is important to do this. Another important aspect of how to interact with visions is check the vision if it is in alignment with God. Now remember, whenever you are designing things, you might have nightmares, you might have dreams that you clearly know that these are from the enemy. It is important to discern that this is not from God, or this is from the multitude of your businesses or activities. Reject what is evil. Reject what does not align with the word of God. If you're having a dream where you are either, you know, you're maybe taking someone's wife, and you know clearly that is not in line with the word of God, then you know you need to reject that. So you have to check any vision, any dream in alignment with the word of God. And then lastly, also, it's also important that you need to seek godly counsel from mature brethren and pray over it to understand the full counsel of God. One of the things that you'll realize about God is that he gives us things in part. And that's what the Bible says. We prophesy in part. We think, we see things in part. But when we are fully known, it shall be fully revealed once we come into the full realization of God. So he always gives us a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. That means it is a word. It is not the full reality. So that is where there is a place for godly counsel, where you can share with people you trust. And by this, you are able to get counsel. Because at times you might not understand the interpretation, but when you share it with someone, then it aligns, and you'll be able to see that. Finally, what is our conclusion? Source. What is the source? That is key. Once you identify the source, then you can be able to know how to deal with it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22-23 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, or if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Remember Jesus speaking with the Pharisees. Jesus said, John 9:39-41, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him had these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you are blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Each of us have a responsibility to be led by God, but also, are we sensitive to take the instruction? Are we sensitive to what God is revealing, and how do we apply or how do we judge what God has revealed? I'm going to stop here, and I pray that God will give us insight and reflections, experiences. Welcome at this point.